Every individual sees the world completely differently. Every individual acts in their individual world also differently. If you look at a frog or frogs, there's not much difference between the lives of frogs. You start working your way up the more intelligent, if you say conscious animals. So you make your way to monkeys. Okay, now we're starting to see some different cultures of monkeys, some different behaviors, some different traits within those cultures, within those tribes, those groups of monkeys. And then you go to dolphins and killer whales, and you find that genetically they are almost identical, these killer whales, yet they are acting very differently. Not only the personality within the group, but especially within the different orca, the different killer whales around the world. Then you move to humans who, I'm a bit biased. We are the most intelligent species that we are aware of. So every the greater your consciousness, the greater your intelligence, if you call it that, the more diverse your values and perceptions and the way that you see the world will differ from another. And then you take it a step further, and because in the Western world, I mean, like Australia, America, China, some parts of China at least, we are first world countries and we're more educated. So our intelligence and our consciousness goes up even greater. You find the humans in first world countries, every individual is a lot more unique and different and sees the world a lot differently than these third world countries, where they see the world in a very sort of not one-dimensional world, but a more simplistic world where it's like, oh my God, I need food, I need sleep, I need shelter, and I have my family. Those are the four things that third world countries think about, just like a frog thinks about, oh, what flies am I going to eat today? Okay. So that is very important to understand. And this is the first key to mastering your mindset, having mental mastery, or being a student of mental mastery, I like to prefer, because you're never going to master your mind. You get better at mastering your mind as you go along. This is the first step, because Schopenhauer said, we know ourselves to the degree that we can make everyone else ourself. So if we can understand the world of someone else, we're one step closer to understanding our own world. And the more that we embrace how we are different to others, the more we become our self-actualized, individualized human beings, which I think is really the key to mastering your mind and your mind and your mental area of life. I think is the most important, because everything comes from our perceptions, whether it's our senses, our touch, our feelings, tasting, seeing, hearing. It all gets filtered through our brain, which then goes into our body, which then goes into controlling our emotions, our neurochemistry, our actions. It controls everything. So you won't be able to master your finances unless you can control your emotions and you know how to identify value, how to invest in value, how to manage value, and how to spend that value. Same thing with family. If you don't know how to control your emotions, if you don't know how to communicate, if you don't know your needs, if you can't identify the needs of others, if you don't know how to ask quality questions, if you can't control your emotions again, then you're not going to be able to have a mastery of family. So you're not going to, it's not, it's going to be a lot more difficult. Same thing with your health and your body. You know, people say the top athletes always say, so it's just the mindset. I get in the gym every day. I start training. When I'm performing, it's a mental. I got to overcome the anxiety and the stress and the pressures. And as if you want to grow anything, it's like free diving. It's like diving underwater. The deeper you go, the more pressure there is around you. Same thing with space. The more we try and go up towards the atmosphere and space, the harder it is to breathe because there's less oxygen and there's more dangers, and we're further away from like that safety support thing that we're so used to. So really, if you want to grow in any area of life, in any capacity, if you want to reach any of your goals, if you want to be extraordinary and achieve greatness, it all comes back to understanding the keys to mental mastery and applying those to all of your goals and all of the other areas of life. So key number one is understand that every individual lives by a set of their own priorities in their own unique individual world. Everyone sees the world completely differently. They see the world in terms of their highest values, things that they value the most. So when I walk around, I was with a friend the other day, riding my bike, and I said to him, if there's three things that you can always be sure I will spot at any distance: hot girls, books, or a cute dog. I will be able to spot it. You know, you have those people, or maybe you have these things in yourself where you're walking around and you get like a sense, or like you're, oh my God, there's cool kids stores, or there's that for me. Oh my God, there's a dog. I always, whenever there's a dog, oh, dolphins as well. If I'm on the beach, I swear to God, I see dolphins almost every time I'm at the beach. If it's like flat, because I just know, I just look out and bang, I can spot it. Because I have a high value on that. Someone who doesn't have a high value on animals and beauty and nature, they're going to walk on the beach and they're going to be looking at their phone. They're going to be looking at the other people. They're going to be looking at the houses. They're going to be looking at the cars. They're going to be looking at the fashion, the clothes that people are wearing. They're going to be looking at themselves and their own body and their own image and what they're saying. And they're going to be thinking about work. So it's like, what things do you see first? Because your brain is prioritizing those things, and your brain prioritizes those things because you have a perception that you have more benefit than drawback of identifying those things. Does that make sense? So Demartini always uses the example where a mum of three kids will walk through a shopping mall and she'll be able to identify all of the kid things, all of the clothes for kids, food for kids, activities for kids, things for the house, for the kids, you know, anything to do with kids. The husband, the business owner, he walks through the mall. He sees, okay, how many people are walking into that store? What's the average price? How many people are buying? What stores are busy? What marketing is there? What are the names of the stores? How big is the mall? How many stores are in the mall? How many, they see the finances, they see the marketing, they see the business, how many employees are working, how many people are in the line, how efficient is the business? So everyone sees the world completely differently. I'll tell you why. If we had free choice, if we had free will, hey, hint, we don't actually have free will for the most part. When we access our superconscious mind and we can integrate all of our perceptions all at once, we do have free will. But for the most part, we're being controlled by our values and our perceptions. Because if we, every time we walked into a room, everything was like fresh. So your brain completely erased everything that it already knew, and it looked at the walls, the photos, the paint, the bed, the computer, the water, the map, the text, the keyboard. It looked at everything brand new, completely fresh. There is a clip that was on an Ellen DeGeneres show, and they showed this blurry image, and everyone's trying to look at the blurry image. Okay, what's this blurry image? And then they showed a clear image of what it actually was, and it was a snake. Then they went back to the blurry image, and everyone could see the snake. They're like, oh my God, that's a snake, obviously. And you can't unsee it. You cannot erase things from your brain. Okay? You cannot erase things from your brain. So every time you've walked into a house, your brain preloads the data of, oh my God, this is a house. Okay, what every other time I've ever been in a house, what's that been like? Okay, load that data in, bang. Okay, cool. I'm in a house. Awesome. But you might have something one time where imagine you're at the movies and you're going into the movies. You watch a movie. Okay, when I go to the movies, I sit down, I watch a couple previews. They start. Everyone's kind of quiet. Some people are eating popcorn, you know, whatever. What if you're in the middle of the movie and bang, everything goes black. The lights go out. The screen stops. You're like, oh my, you're thrown out of that experience. And you're like, oh my God, I'm having a brand new experience. What's going on? I'm not watching a movie anymore. This is something completely different. And it kind of takes you out. It's called a break state. It's like, what the hell's going on? You're really confused. Now imagine if you were that fucking confused every second of the day. Like, oh my God, what's going on? What's this microphone thing? What's the internet? What's Facebook? So it would be so overwhelming and so stressful to your nervous system that you wouldn't be able to cope. You wouldn't be able to fucking do anything. That's like when you try to implement change within a business, or you have to try and change one of your health habits, or you start trying to read books, or it's not easy because we get stuck in these patterns, these systems one thinking it's called, where we just keep doing the same things over and over and over. 60% of the thoughts that you had yesterday, the exact same thoughts that you have today. So it's we're trying to conserve energy because we're stuck in that survival state of like, okay, I need food, I need shelter, I need sleep, and I need connection somehow. Okay, where am I getting those? So if you're not aware of this first step, this first key, and understand, okay, who am I? I am a human who has a completely unique and individualized way of seeing, feeling, experiencing, and being in what we can call the universe. I'm completely different to everyone else. I'm special, okay? What your mom told you when you were younger is right. You are very special, okay? You see the world differently. When you embrace that, and you can identify, okay, are my basic needs being met? Okay, cool. Now, I see the world differently. What do I see? It's a very simple question. What do I do? Your actions reflect this. Your actions, here's the greatest thing that I ever did. I started writing down everything I ever did in the entire day. I've been doing it for almost 4 years, where on and off, pretty consistent. Where I just put in my calendar, okay, did I read a book? Did I go for a walk? Did I go to the gym? Did I see a friend? Did I hang out with a partner? Did I do family? Did I do this? How did I feel that day? When was I most productive? When did I make the most amount of business? When did I have the most amount of fulfillment and love and gratitude? Okay. And then you start looking and reflecting on your weeks. Oh my God, I actually was so productive that week. Because I was waking up early, I was working on my mission, I was reading lots of books, and I was putting videos out there, and I was going for walks on the gym, and I was playing with my dog. Oh my God, cool. That's who I am. That's how I see the world. I see the world as fucking, it's a place to learn, it's a place to grow, it's a place to teach, it's a place to experience and love nature. It's a place to express my creativity through writing. Wow, that's who I am. Now, who I am, don't let yourself start comparing yourself to who I am, because I'm different to you. We're same. We all have the same energy and the same essence, but we're different in our values and our actions and the form. We are different in the form. We're all made of the same ingredients, but we've just baked a different fucking cake. All right. It's all the same ingredients. All right. It's all the same shit, just with expressing it in a different way, because we are intelligent, highly conscious, well, from what we, it's all relative, isn't it? We're a conscious species that has the power to transcend our survival brain. We are far beyond the survival brain. If you can get some sort of income, which, I mean, in Australia, you can just literally just go on the dole, get some sort of consistent food so you know you're eating, have shelter, have connection, make sure you're sleeping. Wow, bang, okay, cool. I have time to be who I am. The problem is that people don't take the time to think about who they are because they're different. They're comparing themselves to others and being like, okay, well, person A went to uni and got a job and had a family and bought a house. Okay, that's what people do. That's what people do. See how we're generalizing now? You cannot, generalizations help to abstract and reduce load and overwhelm to the brain so that we conceptualize things and start to learn and grow. That's fine. But when we consistently abstract and generalize about what we should do, it's completely, man, I just can't stress it enough. We're all so different. So that's your values. Your values are things that you, the way you see the world, the things that you love doing, just something to wake you up at 2 a.m. and you just be fucking frothing to do it. You just love it so much. You can't stop thinking about it. It dominates you. Just, whoo. So from our values, create our perceptions and the way we see the world. From our perceptions, we're running off something called telonomics, which is the past, which is all of our past experiences and the experiences of our genetics. So mother and father, grandmother, grandfather, up. And we actually contain some of the experiences and stored perceptions in our subconscious mind from those ancestors. They've done studies on this where the mother during pregnancy can actually transfer her traumas onto the baby, and the baby's born, but they're not conscious yet. They have the stored trauma perceptions of the mother and father inside of their own epigenetics. So it's fucking cool. So that's telonomics. Where did I come from? Where am I going is your teleology, your telos, which Aristotle coined the term. Telos means to look through the telescope far into the future of who you are. Your telos is when you have a vision and you're inspired and you want to create something, something you see in your mind's eye. So telos is, okay, where do I want to go? Telonomics, where have I been? Okay, what emotional traumas and perceptions and baggage am I holding on to that's stopping me? That's weighing me down. And then when we're looking towards the future, that's your energy, that's your gas, that's your speed. Right. So I've been swimming a lot lately, and there's two main things about swimming. We want to reduce our drag so that we can glide through the water, right? So reduce our weight technically. And then there's the speed at which you can move through the water, which is your fuel. So I'm moving forward and reducing the amount that I'm held back. So it's like, wow, how cool is that? So that's what you want to do. If you only do the past, you'll get stuck. If you only do the future, you'll get stuck because you haven't dealt with the things from the past. If you're trying to take off into space and you have too much fucking baggage on, then you're not going to, it's going to weigh you down. It's going to be too hard. It's not going to be efficient. So we want to take the rocks out of that bag and start running a bit faster, right? So the way we do that is very complex, and you pretty much need to balance out your perception. So if you think something is more good, you're going to be elated and proud and excited and happy. And you need to ask yourself, okay, how does that make me sad? What's the disadvantages of that? Has that affected my feelings? Has that brought up any sort of depression? Because you cannot have a high without a low. And I can break this down a lot further. I've done this in some of my other videos as well. So go have a look through of those. But that's balancing the past. Is you just, okay, what's good? Okay, what are the disadvantages? Oh, okay, balance, like a seesaw. Oh, I think that was really bad from my past. Okay, how has that helped me? So if you look, and the future can actually help you deal with the past. If you see in the future, like, okay, I want to win a gold medal. Okay, well, when I was younger, my dad fucking beat me up. Okay, what's the benefit that by the way, my dad never physically touched me like that, just to be clear, which is whatever. Yeah. So my dad physically fucking beat me up when I was younger. And what's the benefits of that for my gold medal? And people go, well, there's no benefits, blah, blah, blah. Oh, wow. It gave me resilience. I had to stand up for myself. I was challenging myself. I had to stand up for myself. I had to be focused and move out of home. I had to focus and fucking blah, blah, blah. Right. So unfortunately, my dad never physically beat me up, and I'm a bit disappointed in that, because now my chances of winning a gold medal are decreased. Wow. Thanks, Dad, for giving me love and support. Wow. How dare you? Right. So you're using your future to give you inspiration and motivation to deal with the things of the past. If you only try and deal with the past without looking at the future, you're just going to keep rolling around in a circle, because you're going to be stuck in an existential angst and be like, well, what's the point? Right. When you deal with all of those perceptions of the past, you reduce the fears and stresses, and you turn those into eustress, into challenges that you love taking on. And the challenges that you love taking on the most are your highest values, who you are, the things that you love doing, the things, the way that you see the world, who you want to identify as. Like if you came to me and you said, hey, Mitch, you're such an awesome dad, I'd be like, yeah, cool. Like, thank you. Yeah, I do. I love Prince. Yep. But if someone came up to me and said, wow, Mitch, I've been watching your videos. I don't know if you know, but I've been watching your videos. The way you think and the way that you share your ideas about philosophy has helped me so much. Like, wow, you're amazing. Like, I'm almost welling up in tears just saying that to myself. So I want to be, my identity is a philosopher. That's what I love. I'm a lover of wisdom. So when someone can recognize me, by the way, if you ever meet me, you go, wow, Mitch, the great philosopher. Lovely to meet you. Hi, how are you? How's your philosophy going? Okay, it's going to, you're going to win me over instantly. Because people love to be recognized for who they are. When you love someone for who they are, just expands the universe, and it creates growth and beauty and all of that things. So once we have our values, once we are aware of our perceptions of the past and the future, we then have to be present in the moment. Think about this. All things happen because you take action in the present moment. If you're thinking about the future or thinking about the past, it paralyzes you and it stops you from taking action. So in order to take the most amount of effective and efficient action, we must be present in the moment. In the moment, the thing that's going to stop you from being present in space and time is these two things called the voice and the voices. This is the fourth key of mental mastery. This is one of the most important steps. So pay attention to what I'm about to say. The voice is your intuition, the balance between challenge and support, prey and predator, happiness and sadness, grief and relief. It's the center. It's the wisdom. It's the old wise man that's going to direct you and guide you to your most authentic and wise path. That's the single voice. Yes, Mitch, absolutely. Go for it. Let's do it. You know that voice where you're like, it's super clear and you're like, oh my God, okay, fuck yeah, let's go. Whereas the voices is like, oh, Mitch, you should really do it. That's amazing. Oh no, if you do that, this might happen and that might happen. But what about this, the time that you did that? Oh no, what about this other thing? What if you did this other thing? Oh, but have you done this yet? But what about yesterday when you didn't do that, but then you failed here? But what if you succeeded and then you're going to, whoa, okay, whoo, shit. That's all the voices. So the voice is your intuition. That's your authentic self. The voices are all of your emotional past and future baggage that's weighing you down, and it's noisy and it's chaotic and you can't make up your mind. So what people do is they try to escape the voices. They try to pretend it doesn't exist and quieten it down by drugging themselves or eating themselves to fucking death. Right? So this is why meditation is important. This is why having some sort of spiritual mission or spiritual practice is helpful, is because we can calm our mind down, calm the voices down, lower the volume, kick some of the bullshit voices out, and then we can start tuning into that voice and calming it down. So how to deal with the voices, you go back to the perceptions and you go, what's my greatest fear? What's my greatest stress? What do I feel has the most amount of disadvantages? Okay, well, if that actually happened, what would the benefits be? Because once you fear only exists because we think there's more bad than good. The denial of death, Ernest Becker says this, if you're scared of death, you're going to be paralyzed and you're going to subordinate to the group and you're not going to be yourself. Whereas the individualized human, the hero's journey goes, you know what? Chasing my goals is more important than staying safe and increasing my chances of being alive and avoiding death. Okay, so I'm happy to embrace the risk of dying if it means that I get to chase after my goals. Okay, awesome. So now you see more benefits to going after your goals than drawbacks. Awesome, cool. So now you've released the fear. Fear's gone, anxiety's gone, stress is gone. Oh my God, wow, amazing. All you did from journaling and coaching. Wow, okay, cool. So that's how you reduce the voices in your head. So meditation, journaling, balancing your mind out, prioritizing what's most effective and efficient for your values and your mission is also going to quiet down the voice. You ever have a really productive day and you're more resilient and someone tries to ask you to do something or call you up or you get a distraction or something pops up on your screen, you're more resilient, you're more focused. You can just ignore them, you can keep focusing because that voice is so clear in your head. If there's all the voices going on in your head and it's all crazy and chaotic and you can't focus, I find this, if I have the voices in my head, I'm tired and I'm stressed. I'm like, what am I going to do? Do I go to sleep? Do I do more work? Do I go to the gym? Do I have a shower? What do I do? And then, oh, cool, a notification. Oh, distraction. So let me move away from the voices and respond to this text message or get on TikTok or some shit like that. So you're more resilient when you're focusing on your highest values. You're taking high priority action. If you don't fill your day with high priority actions, your day will fill with low priority distraction. Hashtag Dr. John DeMartini. The voice that you hear, your intuition, your wisdom is your personality. That's your authentic self. When you're your authentic self, you see the order and you feel the love. If you are overwhelmed in the voices, you start putting on a persona. You act out of your super ego and you pretend to be someone that you're not. You're camouflaging yourself, you're wearing a mask to fit in so you don't get outed because you have all these fears and emotions and you're like, I can't even deal with the emotions and the fears and the stresses that it's going on with me right now. I don't want to add to any more stress, so I'm just going to pretend to do things that people will avoid me and they won't see me. I'm just going to fit in. Okay, fitting in is easy in the short term. It's hard in the long term because that the voices just eventually overwhelm you and you realize your identity is now with the group and you don't know who you are, right? You're a fucking Catholic priest who becomes a pedophile because he never took the time to figure out who you are and what your mission is and what you want to do. And you're too scared to stand out. So you just became a follower who fits in. And you'll be stuck in the chaos if you're in that persona and that ego. And then you just keep going back and not fucking your perceptions up. Your perceptions will keep stacking and charging until you either die or you realize, okay, the pain is too great. I'm just going to change and take action and prioritize who I am. So they are the keys to self-mastery in your mental area of life. In summary, your mental area of life is the most important out of all areas of life. If you want to achieve anything, understanding the laws of growth and how to deal with pressure and stay resilient and focused towards an inspired goal and achieve things and understand who you are is so important. Number two, your values dictate your destiny. Understanding that you see the world completely differently to everyone else. You act in that world completely differently to everyone else. You've been giving an opportunity, a gift, to express who you are through your highest values, and your purpose is the culmination of all your highest values put into one path, one action, one goal. Your mission is a culmination of all the goals that you have in order to achieve your purpose to the highest degree. Your visions are all of the things that have come to you that bring you a tear of gratitude and inspire you, the things that you're working towards. Now, how far away in time and space they may be. They may be in 10,000 years in the future, but you see it so clearly in your mind's eye that it inspires you and you just want to keep taking action towards it and share your love and gratitude with the world. If you are clear on your values, your purpose, your mission, you have a clear vision, you're going to be more resilient, adaptable, focused, reliable, inspired. You're going to be a self-actualized individual. You're not going to lower yourself down and be in a stressed state and have to deal with fear and anxiety and existential angst. And you're not going to be weighed down by emotional baggage of the past. You're going to be light. You're going to be feeling inspired. You're going to be breathing. You're going to be tight. You're going to be fit. It's going to be so much easier to achieve mental mastery and mastery in all of the other areas of your life. You're going to attract inspiration. You're going to repulse desperation. You're going to be more aware of the exchange of value and be fair exchanging with everyone and serving the world and not be ashamed of who you are and express who you are. And then you inspire more people and you just keep building momentum. And then you're on Mars, creating a self-actualized colony of people who love what they do and do what they love. Wow, cool. Okay, that were the keys. Those were the keys to mastery in your mind. Thank you for watching. Subscribe.